All right, folks. In case you haven't noticed, things are a little bit different this morning. Contrary to what your eyes are telling you, that is not a hot tub. That's a baptismal tank. We're going to be, yeah, amen, that's something to celebrate. Today we're going to be baptizing some adults, and we thought that baptizing adults is such a significant moment. It's a gift from God. You know, God gives us these bodies to live in a very real world, and because of that, he doesn't expect that our spiritual life and our real life would be disconnected from each other. Instead, he wants us to have these significant moments like baptism. And so today when we baptize adults, we thought, why not? Right? If you come to faith in Christ as an adult and you haven't been baptized, why not have a real moment where you are buried with Christ and raised to new life? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's pray, and then we're going to look at Matthew 28. Father, we thank you that your word is good. We thank you that in your word, we learn more and more about Jesus. But most importantly, in your word, we come to know Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see him and hearts that are tender to receive him. Lord, we pray that you would form us around your coming kingdom and make us into joyfully confident disciples of Jesus Christ who tell others the good news as well. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bible with you, you can open up to Matthew 28. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, there's one in the seat in front of you. Now, I have promised to try to keep my sermon under 8 minutes. Miracles happen. Miracles happen. I think, Garth, are you timing? Okay, start the timer now. Matthew 28. I want you just for a moment to put yourself into this account, into this story, because that's really the only way you're going to understand it. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. It's the last thing that Matthew wants to tell his audience. So it matters. It matters in that regard because the last thing that anyone has to say is usually the most important. It's given some weight. It's their swan song. So Matthew is writing this gospel, and this is the part that he finishes with. This is the downstroke. This is the moment. He wants you to not miss this. So when we come to this passage, our ears should perk up. But we should also pay attention to it for another reason. I want you to imagine this for a moment. I want you to imagine that you are tragically and sadly by your best friend's deathbed. Your best friend is lying in bed just about to die, and you are sitting there in vigil beside them, loving them, supporting them, praying for them. And in the moment just before they die, they tell you the last thing that they want to say, and it's this. In 2 days, meet me at Appleby and Upper Middle. Okay, you still with me? And you say, well, that's an odd request, but it's your dying request. I'll do so. And so your best friend tragically dies. You are grieved. You are deeply sorrowed. And you're falling apart inside. But you remember what they told you. They said, meet me at Appleby and Upper Middle in a couple of days. And so 2 days passes, and you make your way to Appleby and Upper Middle. And you're standing there at the corner. You're a little skeptical because you just watched them die. You're starting to think, maybe this is just silly. Maybe I shouldn't have even bothered. 10 minutes goes by, 20 minutes goes by. On the 22nd minute, you're just about to pack it in and head home, and you look north on Appleby Line, and you see your friend walking toward you. Wouldn't you care what they had to say? In that moment, wouldn't you think, my goodness, please tell me something. I can't believe what's happened. If someone dies and is raised to new life, they're worth listening to. Would you agree with that? Well, that's exactly what we have here in Matthew 28. Jesus has been clearly executed publicly on a cross. Before doing so, he told his disciples, go ahead to the mountain and I'll meet you there in a couple of days. And so his disciples, who are grief-ridden, do just that. They take Jesus at his word, they go to the mountain, and they wait for him. And Jesus shows up. What does he have to say? Well, Jesus, the very first things out of his mouth is this. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Imagine that. Imagine that for a moment. What does it mean? Well, the first thing that it means is that there is an authority in this world. That's a comforting thought. Sometimes life feels like we're just subject to the fates. We're subject to the most powerful person in the room. We're subject to the person who wishes us ill. You know, we're subject to all of these random things. Jesus says, no, 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 no. There is supreme authority over the cosmos. That's the first thing he says. The second thing that he says is it is all authority in heaven and on earth. As Craig rightly points out to us several times, Jesus is not simply claiming to be a tribal local deity. He's not just saying, well, you know, I'm the God of those rich, upper middle class Burlington white folks. No, no, no. He says all authority in heaven and on earth, which is a biblical way of saying everywhere. All authority throughout time and space. And then he says this, has been given to me. See, that's what Matthew wants you to take away from this story. That Jesus possesses all authority in heaven and on earth. It's a good news story. It's a good news story. Well, let me ask you another question. I want you to imagine this now. If you had a moment where you were face to face with the person who had supreme authority on all heaven and in all earth, would you pay attention to what they had to say? Would you be interested in what they told you to do? Well, when we were setting out a vision and mission statement a couple of years ago for St. George's, we went through all kinds of work prayerfully and with different concentric circles of leadership to come up with a mission and vision statement. And we decided that coming up with a mission statement for a church is beyond our pay grade. It's not really something that we get to do because Jesus did it already here in Matthew 28. And this is what he said. He said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And here's what he said. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Jesus says, go therefore. All authority has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Now, do you mind if I just geek out for a moment? I've been called an egghead and worse, and I guess it's true. But when we read this passage, we tend to distance ourselves from this instruction of Jesus. Okay? We relegate this passage to those who are the full-time vocational missionaries who go to northern Nigeria, southern Sudan, fill in the blanks. We think, Jesus must have been talking to those guys, not us. Us, we who have everyday jobs, we who drive school buses and are school teachers and doctors and lawyers and plumbers and accountants. He mustn't have been talking to us. He must have been talking to them. Go and make disciples of all nations. Well, here's the geeked out moment. If you read this passage in the original language, you discover that the emphasis is not on the word go. The emphasis is on the word baptize. The word go is actually just a participle. What Jesus said was, as you are going about your day-to-day life, while you are going, make disciples and baptize them. See the difference? He's not talking exclusively to the people who get on a plane and sell everything and go away. He's talking to normal people like you and me. So what does it mean? Does it mean that you and I should carry a little vial of holy water with us all the time? You know, while you're going about your business, sprinkle it around the go train? Probably not. Probably not. What he's saying is that baptism should be as everyday and normal for his people as breathing the air that we breathe. There should be nothing unique or particular about it. Instead, in everyday life, we should be living our lives in such a way that we initiate other people into this new reality. Do you get it? As you're going about your everyday life, live your life in such a way that you expose other people to the authority of Jesus and you initiate them into the new life. That's what he's saying. It's not that complicated. And then once you've initiated them into the new life, teach them. to do all that Jesus has commanded. All right, where does that leave us? A couple of things. First of all, if you have never been baptized, be baptized. Simple. Maybe you're here this morning and you think, golly, that's for me. I want to be obedient to Christ. Hey, there's no better time than the present. We have the baptismal tank ready to go. There's going to be 3 adults baptized today. If you've never been baptized, don't be shy. Come on forward during the offertory and talk to me. I will baptize you this morning. If you've maybe been baptized as a little baby, but you've since come to a place of personal faith in Christ, and you want to renew your baptismal vows and say, that baptism that happened to me when I was a little child, I want to claim that as my own. And I want to do an outward act to show that. If you're here today, come talk to me during the offertory. We'll do that too. That may seem odd, but let me give you a little context. When people are married, sometimes a number of years or time will pass and they'll come to a place where they want to renew their wedding vows. And it's the same thing with baptism. So if you're here this morning and you say, I want to renew my baptismal vows, let's do that. Now listen, if you're really, really shy and you're not ready to do it today, or if you're wearing a see-through shirt, we're going to be doing baptisms again at the end of the month of October. So if you're too shy to do it, either of those today, come talk to me and we'll sign you up for the end of October. Be baptized. The second one is, live your life in such a way that you initiate other people. You expose them to the authority of Jesus. You initiate them into the new life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this important day in the life of our church, especially this important day in the life of Chris and Megan and Adeline and Gordon and Basil and Jolene. This moment where they make public vows and in Basil's case, affirm the vows that he's already made. Vows to live this new life of the kingdom of God, where Jesus holds all authority. Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts to own our baptismal vows, that you would stir those of us who have never been baptized. Lord, I pray that we would live differently in light of the fact that you have conquered death, that all authority in heaven and earth is yours. And you call us to go about our day-to-day life declaring the good news of this reality. Thank you, Lord. Amen.